1041 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to everybody. You know how I know it's Tuesday? Because you can't go to Chris's Pancakes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and much like Chick-fil-A, which you can't go to on Sundays, I mostly crave it on Sundays. I mostly crave Chris's on Tuesdays.
It's weird, isn't it?
And then it's like, oh, I can't go.
It's human psychology.
Bummer.
Yeah, I wanted to start the show today. Tom Ackerman is such a big fan of the DGS. He's such a great guy. I walked in already knowing I was going to do this, and he was talking about a segment we had last week and how it made him think back to childhood and how cool it was and such. And Tom and I are great friends, but we're so different. He's so happy and just proud of what he does. And I was listening to him on Gas House Gang, and he was doing a comeback, and he's like, coming to you from KMOX in downtown St. Louis. And then I'm like, downtown sucks. Like, we're like brothers, you know? Like, he's the happy, shiny one, and I'm the curmudgeon. Like, that sucks.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we offered each other some balance in the sports department when I was there.
Yeah, you need both.
Yeah.
You need both.
Yeah. And then, like, Paulie's kind of the mix of the two.
Yeah.
He's kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. Paulie can get a little spicy.
Yeah. It's funny, though, the first time I've seen him look short was when he was walking out next to Skip yesterday.
Oh.
He walked in and Skip was walking out. I'm like, well, Matt finally looks short.
Yeah. Matt's a big boy.
He is. Big he is. Yeah, he's a 6'3", 6'4" guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wasn't. Still not.
You want one of those weird time things?
Time things, yeah.
So tomorrow,
are we time traveling?
Tomorrow's July 2nd.
Yep.
Correct. So at some point tomorrow, we will be officially closer to 2050 than 2000. Let that settle in.
Mm-hmm.
Let that settle in. Closer. Closer. We are closer to 2050 than 2000.
I thought we had already hit it. I thought we hit it like a...
Yeah. If we, I mean, we're halfway through 2025,
mm-hmm.
So, I know, I had a worse one today. I'm always so honest with you guys. We had a big meeting with our boss today about the future of KMOX, and he said, it's Tom Ackerman, not you. No, he said, like, be careful that you don't, like, talk about being old. You know, because we're trying to get younger people and they don't want to just be like the old man hour. But I saw something today on TikTok, and it was a video of Mickey Mantle hitting a walk-off home run in Game 3 of the 1964 series, and I was alive. I was 1 month old. That freaks me out.
Yeah.
Just like when you see the old grainy footage, and I know life didn't look like that. I know it looked just like it does now. But when you see the old grainy footage, yeah, and you're like,
everybody's walking around in black and white.
Like,
back in the
I
day.
Was alive. Like, I was a little thing.
You're
I don't
a little
know.
Dave.
I was born in 91. You know, a lot of footage from that time has like this VHS quality to mm-hmm. where it's like, it's fuzzy, it's staticky, whatever. That is how my memory is, too. With a
yeah,
lot
I feel
of
you.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I get it.
From whenever I was really little.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, maybe life was actually like, who's to say?
I totally get that. Yeah, when I see photos from the 90s, I'm like, yeah, that's the way life looked.
It's because that's like, how the photos looked.
It wasn't
looked.
Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah, Tommy was talking about how his dad would have a big shindig every year. For customers and clients, I'm guessing, and employees at the drapery. And he would stick his hands in this big igloo cooler full of ice and pull out an orange soda and down two or three of those and just what good memories it was and playing with the kids. And it's good. It's cool. It's tight.
Yeah, it reminds me of my school field days where they would...
Oh, field days.
The best part of field day was lunch because they would grill up like hot dogs and bratwurst and you went and got in line and got your stuff. And then they did have like tubs of soda and bottled water
Magic.
And stuff. But just line up and you could Magic. Drink as much as you wanted.
So I was a pretty good little athlete, obviously not elite or I wouldn't be here, but had field day... been the Olympics.
You're like, I'd have all the gold.
I would be gold in the sack race and the three-legged race and the shoe race. I just loved everything about field day. I could, and I would get mad when people wouldn't take it seriously.
Yeah. You know, our high school did it super seriously.
Oh, yeah?
It was called Armageddon Day. So with the whole day off, and it's all just each class competing against the other classes in everything.
Stuff like that.
So obviously the freshmen always get smoked in the tug of war. That's always going to be the juniors and the seniors because they're so much bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
But you could have, like, there were basketball matchups. There were how far can you throw a football? How far can you kick a football? All that kind of stuff was just all over the place. Long jumps, all that.
You know how you have awakenings, especially athletically? And So being from South Roxana, I was very, very cloistered. We all were. We didn't know that there was a pool 5 miles away. We didn't know that there was a skating rink. We didn't do any of those things. And so in like fifth and sixth grade, I got really into skateboarding. And I was kind of obsessed with it. And I considered myself quite the little skateboarder. And in seventh grade, we had a field day. And there was a skateboarding competition. And I'm like, well, just go ahead and give me the trophy now. And I showed up and realized I couldn't skateboard at all. Like, I could go straight. I could turn.
Right, but you weren't doing any dipsy-doo.
I wasn't flipping. I wasn't 360-ing.
No.
And I just kind of politely picked up my board.
No 720s.
Stepped to the side.
So did you not know there were tricks prior to that?
No, because there was no, there was, like, how would I know?
You didn't have YouTube
it was pre-Tony Hawk, before skateboarding was even cool.
Never on television.
Yeah, good point.
All I knew is that I could do stuff. I could do more stuff than the people in my neighborhood.
Right, right.
But I didn't realize just how behind I was.
Yeah.
And life's kind of like that.
Much more then than now.
Yeah.
Right, you're just not sure what the heck's out there. You're all like, I'm a great basketball player. And then you start playing and you're like, well, maybe I'm not a great basketball player.
Yeah, when I got to Wash U Law, everyone was smart, but they also worked harder than me. So I'm seeing a real pattern here.
Yeah. It is fascinating, though, that you, when you start off, like, just your thoughts, your ideas of how things work.
Yeah.
And then over time, you realize, okay, that's how that works. Okay, oh boy, some of those people are really good at that.
Yeah.
I'm not so good at that.
I think I've said this before. I know it's a hacky stand-up joke. I don't mean it that way. It's literal. About 2 months ago, I bought Prevagen to help my memory, and I keep forgetting to take it.
I think of you every time I see the Prevagen commercials, Dave.
Yeah, that old pharmacist, David.
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 David. The guy in the Prevagen commercial going, wasn't I supposed to take something today? Where did I put that?
So I'm terrible at those things, too, which is why I put those things right near my keys and wallet.
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm going to leave, I'm like, oh, can't forget that.
Yeah.
That's the only way I remember. Or I got to set reminders on my phone, and I don't like to do too many of those.
So it's a brain pill?
Yeah.
That's what it is? It's supposed to, like, help your memory?
Yes. Yes.
That's exciting. I'm looking at it online right now.
If you remember to take it.
I wouldn't know.
Do they have another pill that'll help you remember to take the pill?
Yeah. Take your Prevagen pill.
Your pre-Prevagen.
Rachel says, so it's for memory? And you go, I don't know what it's for.
Maybe?
Something. I don't remember what it's for. I don't know.
I think it's rectal. I don't know. I hate taking pills.
Do you?
Yeah. It's just one of those things that's gotten in my head. I'm a mess.
My latest thing when it comes to taking medications.
I bet Tom Ackerman can take pills.
Yeah.
Like a champ.
But he doesn't need to, though.
I bet he takes pills he doesn't even need.
I'll have my little pill, and I'll get, like, my bottle of Gatorade or whatever, and I convince myself that I have, like, it. When I took the drink, it, like, flew into the bottle of Gatorade, so then I gotta, like, check it.
Oh, you're weirder than me.
Make sure there's not a pill floating around in there. Like, I feel like I didn't feel it go down.
But then when you can feel it, it's like, ugh, that ruined my day.
Yeah, it's much worse to actually be able to feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You take, like, one of those big vitamins or something. Have you guys ever taken a vitamin and then immediately barfed?
I have puppy puked on them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because if you take, like, I don't know, just one of those big ones on, like, an empty stomach, it's like, oh, cannot be doing that.
The big nasty smelling ones.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. They're like an inch long.
Mm-hmm. When I took those two liquid gel cap, whatever, ibuprofens, and one went behind one eye and one went behind my other eye, and I think one went into Phoebe's brain, like, it was just in a piece of my face I didn't know I had. And no one was home, and I'm, like, straight up walking around my kitchen trying to Heimlich myself on my island. and just making goose noises. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a liquid gel. It's going. Now it's just a race against time. Does it die or do I die first?
Well, I'm glad you're still with us.
I was going to say, we know who won, Dave.
I beat the crap out of those liquid gels.
You are the champion.
Thank you. I almost said the S word. That would have made Tom Ackerman happy. He's like, yes.
Got another one on him.
This guy's gone.
Oh, man.
So how about that Fetty?
Ugh.
I almost texted you last night, but I was too angry.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yesterday, I did a whole thing with Bernie Miklas, like, you're letting angst ruin your whole, you know, just baseball. Take it easy. And I couldn't even text you because I was so mad.
I get it. I mean, like, I get both parts of it, like, because bigger picture, like, after the game and everything settles down, you should be able to, any band, fan should right be able to be it. Like, yes, exactly. You should be able, at the end of the game, end of the night, be like,
it's
all
one
right,
game.
Hey, look, they're still better than we thought they were going to be. Or, even if they're worse, hey, look, there's nothing they can do about it till the offseason, whatever. But in the moment, it's still annoying.
Yes.
You know, in the moment when you're throwing cutters over the middle and they're getting hammered and you can't do anything about it, I mean,
Do you think they let him go too long, or is that just one of those faded complies, like, this is just what the game's going to be?
I mean, I think they probably did, but I understand why they did.
Mm-hmm.
Although we were texting about it a little bit last night, and I brought up the question, like, did you really need to try to push him when you already had, in the previous series, a complete game by Sonny Gray? Like, the bullpen was pretty well rested coming out of the Cleveland series, because they didn't have to pitch very much. Might have been the time to have the quicker trigger, especially, you know, I brought this up yesterday on Gas House. You've got a few starting pitchers, and Fetty's one of them, Palante and Michaelis too. The third time through the order, they struggle.
Yeah.
So you have to start making the decision now that it's competitive environment, right? You're trying to win games. You're in the you're in a wild card spot. You're only a couple of games out of the division. Do you need to start getting the hook sooner?
Well, like I said to you,
or do you try an opener where you use somebody like Swanson or whatever in the first inning against their best hitters and then start? Yeah. I mean, a lot of teams do this. The Dodgers do this all the time, where they'll have an opener face those top guys, and then the next guy comes in and he'll pitch five innings, six innings, but he'll only have to face the good hitters twice instead of three times.
But I'm sure you agree, we shouldn't have to work that hard to work around our number two pitcher.
No, and I mean, this is the problem, right? I mean, Sonny and Libby have been great. Liberatore had a few rough starts, but overall, 16, 17 starts, he's been excellent. And Sonny Gray's been excellent. You know what you're getting almost every time out with those guys.
Yeah.
The other three guys at times have been really good, right? I mean, Bernie pointed out the numbers, I think, yesterday that, you know, they're still one of the better rotations in baseball when it comes to total with innings of work, things along those lines. And they do, they have had at times done a good job. The problem is the peaks and the valleys are too separate. There are too many valleys and the valleys are too deep.
Yes.
So if you look at Fetty and you look at his game log, it'll be like two good ones, two bad ones, three good ones, three bad ones. And the bad ones are really bad ones, like last night, where they take you out of the game. And
yeah.
Michaelis has had the same problem, and yes, Palante has had it too. Even when they've been good for stretches, the bad is still probably too bad.
The floor is unacceptably low.
Yes.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. So, in radio terms, since KMOX went to FM, we have added a ton of QM, which is just a fancy radio term for people. We have a huge number of brand new listeners, many of whom I'm sure came over to listen to Cardinals baseball on the FM, and then they either stick around or they don't. And so we have to be very much better than we typically are about letting you know what the show's about. And I'll just address one thing, kind of the elephant in the room, which is anyone who does any sort of content these days, any sort of generalist and any sort of like a 4-hour show, you have to make a decision and you kind of have to make a deal with the devil on politics, because many times the top story is going to be politics. And most of the time it's going to be Donald Trump centric. I mean, let's face it, the man has worked his ass off to be the most famous person in the history of the world. I don't like Donald Trump. I'm a former conservative who feels like the party left him, but I'm also very cognizant and respectful of people who disagree with me politically. So I would say this. This show has four people on it every day, and then we bring people in for things like the think tank and just, you know, guest spots. We always, always keep it even with the guests. We never have, you know, two of one on, or in a week have three liberals and no conservatives. So we try very hard to keep it down the middle. I try very hard to keep my opinions civil and policy driven. And I appreciate when you guys do the same thing. There's a guy who watches us on the stream named Brian M. He's not on there right now, but Brian is obviously much more conservative than I am. And I disagree with his policies, but I respect him because although we'll get salty every now and then, he always comes back with something respectful. And I appreciate that. So we would probably disagree about most things, but I would have a beer with Brian M. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? So just to let you know where we are politically, like 97.1, where I was anchor of the afternoons for 20 years, they have an agenda. They are a conservative station. Mark Cox is not going to mince words. He loves Donald Trump, and he loves all things Trumpy, and he's probably buying the $250 cologne that he's selling now. And that's okay. Mark and I are pals, but we disagree politically. So on this show, we will talk about political topics. We'll try to do it as evenly as we can, but we're human. And I don't want me or anyone else on the show or you, the listener, to have to hide who you are or what you think because you're afraid someone's going to go off on you. So just need to get that out of my face. So $250 cologne. Have you heard this one, Wheels?
No.
Yes.
Is that a lot or not a lot?
That's a lot.
Because I don't buy cologne.
No, that's a lot. And the president is selling, it's called Trump Victory 45, 47 or something like that. So that's the stuff. Like, we can talk about what to do with undocumented immigrants. We can talk about what to do with tax cuts. We can talk about what to do militarily in Gaza. We can talk about all those things. The thing that has turned me against Donald Trump is mostly that stuff. The grift, you know, the laser beam, ripped body, trading cards, the Bible, the $250 cologne. Like, just so you know where I am politically, open to policy discussions, kind of out on that stuff.